Mother's Day began May 9, 1914. President Woodrow Wilson signed a joint resolution of Congress recommending the Congress and the executive departments of the government observe Mother's Day, according to the World Book Encyclopedia. This was 107 years ago today that this day was designated as Mother's Day. Obviously, I'm not a mother, but I had one, had two grandmothers. My wife has been a mother for over 57 years, so I think I'm qualified to know a little bit about mothers. And I also have a Bible that talks about mothers. I'm convinced that no one rises to a higher plane of moral accomplishment than a godly mother. There is absolutely no one who selflessly sacrifices like a mother does. She shares her body with the unborn. She gives nourishment, protection, shares her time, her energy, talent, and her heart as she weeps and laughs through the turbulent changes from childhood to adulthood. There is no task on earth that requires more dedication, more commitment, and highly refined skills tempered by compassion and patience as a mother. In your bulletin today, you'll find a piece titled, "How Much Is Your Mother Worth?" and puts a dollar figure, which is well over $500,000 a year. I don't know that you can actually put a monetary price as the value of a mother, because this task given to a mother requires more commitment, more dedication, and more highly refined skills probably than any other occupation. No human obligation is less adaptable to substitute than motherhood. There's absolutely nothing that can compare. There is no substitute for motherhood. And so, as we look at the functions of motherhood, I want us to be moved with gratitude for godly mothers. Look at some things that mothers are. Managers of the home. I don't know of a better place to read about mother than Proverbs, the 31st chapter. I just want to share a couple of verses. In verses 26 and 27, it says 27, 28 on the chart, but it only has 27. Well, that actually goes on through 31. That covered up. But I want to begin in verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and needeth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. I want you to note, first of all, God's order. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, said, "I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Marry, bear children, guide the house. Did you notice that the text talks about keeping the home or guiding the house? It doesn't say anything about advancing a career as a primary responsibility of motherhood. It didn't say seek and find satisfaction, fulfilling yourself above motherhood, but rather you fulfill yourself in motherhood. This worthy woman in Proverbs the 31st chapter was an example of a domestic manager. She is an efficient manager of the home. Back up to verse 21 and 22. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her priorities are in order. Though she had pursuits outside the home, as you look at verse 16 and verse 24, when it says she considers the field and buys it with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. In verse 24, she makes it fine linens and setteth it and deliver girdles unto the merchants. It's obvious that this woman here that is described as being a worthy woman is an efficient manager of the home and had pursuits outside of the home. But her family came first before outside interest. Notice verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Then in verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candles going not out by night. She gets up before daylight. She doesn't go to bed till after dark. Such a woman compliments her husband. In verse 23, the text says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And then in verse 25, she contributes to a bright future for her family. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall receive in time to come. She shall rejoice, rather, in time to come. This commendation for this worthy mother involves a great deal of things that we admire in mothers. Her children, her husband, people with whom she has contact in the community, they all recognize the qualities that are involved in this particular type of woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 10. Not only is she a manager of the home, she is a model of obedience. First and foremost, she is obedient to the Lord. James chapter 4, there at verse 7, James says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our foremost responsibility is to submit to God. Then as Peter points out, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, she is to submit to her husband. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Then you continue on down in verses 5 and 6, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Submission to her husband. She becomes the role model, as well as the primary teacher of her children. I'm told that at a banquet, the mother of George Washington was sitting beside a distinguished French officer. Turning to Washington's mother, the officer asked, how have you managed to rear such a splendid son? She replied, I taught him to obey. What higher thing can you teach a child besides obedience? A model of obedience is seen in Mary, in Luke chapter 1 to verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Just like you said, let it happen. That was the attitude of the mother of our Lord. What greater attitude than let it be according to your word? Let it be to me according to your word. What were her options? Think she could have tried to do like Jonah did? She might have run, tried to hide? That wasn't her nature. She couldn't really run away. She couldn't offer excuses. She couldn't argue with the angel. You know, she could have done like a lot of people do today. She could have demanded answers. or just simply refused, what are you going to do? Well, she surrendered. Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever God said, that's what I want to happen. A model of obedience. Mothers are teachers of good things. This reflects God's original plan for the operation of the human family. Obviously, the book of Proverbs is full of admonitions that clearly show that mothers are to be teachers. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, there Solomon said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Mothers have a right to make rules and regulations for her children. Proverbs 31 and verse 1, the word of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The words his mother taught him. Then in verses 3 through 5, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, not for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Lest they forget. They drink and forget. You can forget what you've been taught. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Going down to verse 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who's he talking to? Well, go back to verse 2. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vow? This is the son of this mother. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Don't forget what your mother taught you. Mothers do a lot of their teaching simply by example. When our actions and words do not harmonize, we do our children a great disservice. Our daughter's here this morning. I'm going to pick on her and her mother a little bit. One time when Beth was real small, Dottie was telling her to get her Bible lessons. And Beth wanted to know why she had to get her Bible lessons when her mother didn't get hers. Well, Dottie got to thinking, I do mine after Beth goes to bed. She don't ever see me do my studying. So she had to change her habits a little bit. Let the children see her doing her Bible study. Don't ever think that your children are not watching. They are. They're watching every move you make. They recognize us as hypocrites. And the effectiveness of the teaching that we have done is destroyed. We must never demand more of our children than we're willing to do ourselves. Just look at some examples from the scripture of good mothers. There's a woman named Jochebed. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many here know who Jochebed was the mother of? A son was born in the midst of difficult and perilous times. Leviticus, or rather Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now how many recognize who that child was? And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sisters, to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "I take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Jochebed is the mother of Moses. Let me put a little thought in your head. Did you ever stop and think that Moses was raised by a babysitter? A lot of children today are raised by babysitters. Now let me ask you now, who had the most influence over Moses? His babysitter, or the one who was supposed to be his mother? The one who took him as her child? He was considered to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So who had the greatest influence over Moses? His mother was his babysitter. She was paid wages to raise him. She instilled faith in her child because later he was able to make a wise choice. Hebrews chapter 11, there, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was come years, or by faith when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Then in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for a respect and recompense of reward. Where did he learn all this? I suspect you know the answer to that question. He learned all this from his mother. He didn't learn the fear of God from Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh was an idolater. He served idol gods. He didn't serve the God of heaven. But Moses learned about the God of heaven. Jochebed had a tremendous influence on her child. He became the leader of God's people. Another was Hannah, example of a mother who encouraged her son to excel in good things. You remember, Hannah prayed for a child. She was childless. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He washed her lips. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Her prayer has been heard. She does have a son. She did exactly as she promised. In verse 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship, and she worship the Lord there. As long as he lives, he's going to be given to the Lord. She continued to provide for him. As you look in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She recognized her responsibility to continue to provide for this child. In the New Testament, you find Eunice and Lois, a mother and a grandmother. First, Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Timothy, as you read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Where'd that come from? Unfeigned means unpretended. It's real. It's genuine. Where'd it come from? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Timothy's father was a Greek. We don't really know how much influence Timothy's father had on him. Apparently not much. Because Timothy became a faithful servant of the Lord. And Paul said that faith came from his mother and his grandmother. And so you see the kind of influence that a woman and her mother can have over a child, even though maybe a father does not participate in the spiritual training of that child. Yes, I know fathers are taught to do that, but some neglect that responsibility. And when that responsibility is neglected by the father, then the mother can take that responsibility and persuade that child to be the kind of child that they ought to be. Because Timothy said, from a child, that's known the Holy Scriptures. From a child, his mother and his grandmother taught him. As he wrote in Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Who's the man he's talking about? He's talking about Timothy. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But Timothy wasn't like that. Where did he get this background? Where did he get this teaching? From his mother and his grandmother. Eunice and Lois were a tremendous influence on Timothy. You see, mothers are helpers of the helpless. Can you think of anything that is more helpless than a little tiny baby? Can do absolutely nothing for itself. The mothers have the wonderful ability to love their children regardless of how ungrateful or hurtful they may be at times. And all you mothers understand that sometimes children are like that. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, Solomon said, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Think of how often our mothers have to be nurses, teachers, housekeepers, cooks, chauffeurs, counselors, friends, and on the list goes. And how many times all these jobs, to a large degree, are thankless jobs? Children just, it seems like they automatically assume that this is what mothers do, that this is their responsibility. Well, yes, it is. But it ought not be a thankless job. We as children need to express to our parents, and particularly to express to our mothers, our appreciation for what they do for us. Through her teaching of good things, the godly mother builds her house. The passage in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. How our children turn out are a reflection on their parents. And many times, particularly, the mother. The wisdom of God is exhibited in motherhood. The greatest lessons that we have ever learned have come from a loving, caring, sacrificing mother who were always available to us. Every once in a while I think about things that happened in my childhood, and one thing that comes to mind quite frequently is me going to my mother and asking, do you have any extra money? Somehow or another, she always had a little extra money. Wouldn't be much. She had a little bit. I don't know how she managed for it, because we didn't have hardly anything. We lived from my dad's paycheck to the next paycheck, but somehow or another, mother always had a little extra. Mothers are like that. They sacrifice for their children. And as a result, mothers are to be respected and honored. Remember verse 28 of Proverbs chapter 31? Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Respect for mothers is rooted in the Old Testament and sprouts in the New Testament. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, the text says, you shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Proverbs 23, verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Then you remember in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You go on and say that thy life may be long. Thou mayest live long in the earth. Respect must be given to our parents. Consider what God thinks of a disrespectful child. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. In chapter 20 and verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 30 verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 and 19. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and on the gate of his place. When he refuses to change, guess what? His life's taken. That's what God thinks about a disrespectful child. Disrespect and disobedience to parents is a manifestation of a worsening society, and we're seeing it happen, played out day by day, hour by hour in our society. As Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And as it writes in Romans 1, verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We see it every day on our TV screens. Sometimes we even see it in person, even in small towns, such as the one in which we live. It begins with a disrespect for God's law. Love needs to be expressed in deeds. Remember what John said, 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. As we talked in our Bible class this morning about love, as Brother Jack pointed out, love our enemies, he said that's a hard thing to do. But love is absolutely essential. But it has to be more than just a word spoken. Don't just love in word. Not just in what you say, but in deed and in truth. And one of the ways we show love is by teaching our children when they are very young. And mothers are the best at that than anything in the world. Motherhood. We hear expression like mother, like daughter. You know, it comes from the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against his slave. As is the mother, so is her daughter. You want your children to turn out right? You have to be right. You have to do right. You have to show them what's right. Because they learn primarily through example. Most of us can trace what admirable qualities that we possess to our mothers. And so, some of us can't take the time now to thank our mothers, but those whose mothers are still living, have you thanked them lately? Each of us needs to thank God for His wisdom in regard to His plan for the human family. God designed the human family. He designed mothers to be the caregivers to children, to provide for them what no one else on earth can provide for them. I don't care how hard a father may try. He cannot provide for a child what a mother can. A lot of fathers are good fathers. They provide tremendously for their children. But when a mother doesn't provide what a mother's supposed to provide, that child is sadly lacking. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. It's happened in our family. So, if we could only adequately tell the worth of mothers. Hopefully, we have instilled in our hearts this morning some thoughts that will help us to appreciate, first of all, God's plan. And God did have a plan and does have a plan for mankind. We must submit to God's will, just as these godly mothers that we discussed. They were willing to submit to God's will, whatever it required. They did it. So must we, if we hope to be pleasing to Him. If you're not a part of the family of God today, you can become part of it. If you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to confess your faith publicly, as you repent of your sins, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord then will add you to His church, be a part of His family. God will be your Father. You will answer to Him. Submit yourself totally to His will, because He knows what's best. He designed the earthly family because He knows what's best. And He knows what's best for us in His family, the church. And Jesus talked about those who leave the world and become a part of the family of God gain more than what they lose. Those who have left father and mother, land, children, for His sake in the gospel, they'll gain more. And houses and land and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters with persecution in the world to come, eternal life. It may be that one might have to leave their earthly family. It'd be a difficult thing to do. My parents did. But they gained more than they lost because they became a part of God's family. They had mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters in abundance. You can have too, if you'll be a part of the family of God. If you have obeyed the gospel, you've become a part of His family, and you've left the Lord and gone back into the world, you can return to Him this morning by repenting of your sins, confessing them, and asking the Lord to forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.